Okay.
All right.
Ready?
Okay, yeah, totally.
Okay. All right. So we're listening to Radio Berkman. You're listening to Radio Berkman. We're here with Urs Gasser and Sandra Cortesi. And they've been working on a report for the Youth and Media Project here at the Berkman Center. And this grows out of work that you've done, Urs, in the past with your book Born Digital that you wrote with John Palfrey. Why don't you start by talking about, you know, the origins of this work that you're doing?
Yeah, thanks so much for hosting me. Indeed, the starting point was our book, Born Digital, that I co-authored with John Palfrey. As the readers of the book know, we looked into various areas, policy areas associated with the ways in which kids are actually using digital technology, also known as the internet. We have mapped various areas. For instance, we looked into privacy issues when kids use Facebook, and most kids do. What are some of the problems emerging there? We've looked into risky behaviors. Cyberbullying is a big topic many parents and teachers, but also young users, are concerned about, and various other topics, including, of course, also the opportunities associated with this new technology, the opportunities for learning, for civic engagement, and entrepreneurship, and so forth. Now, in this particular project, or kind of the next phase of the project, we identified three areas for deep dives coming out of the research for the book. The one being privacy, as I already mentioned, the second one being risky behaviors, and the third one being information quality.
And why did you pick information quality as one of the places to focus on first?
Yeah, so privacy and safety are rather straightforward. Everyone acknowledges these are important topics. Information quality obviously is less obvious, but here's our rationale why information quality matters from a youth perspective in particular. 2 points. First, we know that the internet has become the main source of information for many young people who have access to digital technologies and the skills to use the internet, to look up various things that matter in their lives, health information, information about education, financial stuff, as well as, of course, entertainment, right? It's also a place to listen to music, to download videos and so forth, and communicate with friends, hang out with friends in the virtual space. That being said, the information landscape has changed dramatically. So on the one hand side, you know, the internet is the primary source of information. On the other hand side, well, how this information is produced and disseminated is very different from the past, from the paper world, where actually editorial boards have made some of the key decisions, what you would read, or where, you know, the people in a movie studio or TV studio would have made the editorial choices.
Mm-hmm. It comes down from on high,
exactly,
with lots of layers in between to make sure this is right. Exactly what we want you to hear.
Exactly. And arguably, you could say at least there were some professional routines and certain standards and often also regulations around the ways in which media was produced and content was disseminated. And therefore, there was at least in theory some control about the quality of the content. And now we all know not everything has been high quality content in the TV world and in the newspaper world either. I will come back to that in a second. But certainly it's fair to say that we are living even in a much more diverse information ecosystem than, you know, a few years back. Of course, you don't need to own a TV studio today to broadcast your own show. You can use YouTube. You don't need to own a printing press to become a publisher. You can just blog, and so forth. And it's not only this kind of shift from a few professional producers to the citizen journalists and the grassroots bloggers and so forth. It's also a shift away